Labor Day weekend. Anybody else have to work Labor Day weekend? Oh, my goodness. Yep, I knew you'd raise your hand indeed. Labor Day weekend, man, pays tribute to the contributions and achievements of the American worker and became a federal holiday way back in 1894. And I thought, man, we're celebrating and making it a national holiday. How many people have to work for those Labor Day weekend sales? I thought, oh, goodness. But it's all right. Laborers were mentioned in the Bible as well, were they not? Old Testament, New Testament, a lot of laborers, a lot of slavery in the Old Testament, and people were definitely laboring, building and building and building for those that kept them captive. And I know in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Matthew chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read this real quick, verse 35 through 38. And it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And then Jesus said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And I thought it was interesting that Kishim mentioned we had opportunity to talk to other people and be the light. And then you talked about how we respond to God and not to harbor things and hold things against him or others. And I thought, now here we're talking about the opportunity to be laborers in the kingdom of God. And I thought, that's okay. So long as we know who we're doing it for. We don't always know the why, though. We have to know that. I mean, we have to know that we don't always know, why are we doing this, Lord? He doesn't always give us the answer. He says, go. I may reveal it to you later. Sometimes he says, go and we'll do this. But turn to Matthew chapter 4. If we go back just a little bit. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Because Jesus, when he mentioned that about the laborers, he was talking to his disciples. And he was telling them as they had moved about, telling them, hey, we've got this great opportunity. We have this great harvest. And the harvest is a kingdom. But we don't have a lot of laborers to get people to that place. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." That comes before what he had said earlier. So in the very beginning, he called disciples. He said, "You, come follow me." And they followed him immediately. But notice what he said, "Follow me," and then what? "And I will make you fishers of men." I love that. You're going to become something different when you follow Jesus. And the same thing is happening today. When we follow Jesus, we will become something different. Follow Jesus. Not just know the name and know what he is and who he is, but follow him. "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Let me ask you guys today, let me ask you a question. Have you allowed him to make you fishers of men? Well, what do you mean by that, Adam? Yeah, I accepted Jesus. I didn't ask that. Accepting Jesus is one thing. Then going further with our new responsibilities as a Christian, a Christ follower, an ambassador for him, the fragrance and aroma of Christ making us more desirable to be around, versus my favorite phrase, the stench of sin, making us undesirable to be around. Think about that for a minute. Have you allowed him to make you fishers of men by following him? It's not just a waving of a wand, a twinkle of the nose, and it happens. It happens by following Him. Oh, man, okay, so what are we talking about? Are we talking about making disciples? Yes, we're talking about making disciples. We're talking about a labor of love today, a labor of love. Being laborers in His kingdom and what that means. I'll make you fishers of men if you follow me. And they followed Him all over the place. Do we have room? Do we have time to focus on Him in kingdom work? We talked to our youth group on Wednesday and said, what keeps you from loving others with the love of God? And sometimes, man, we think, these young people, they got it made. We got classes, study, sports, church events, school activities. Haley and Spencer, when you guys grew up in Ground Zero, I'll never forget. Sarah LeClaire, stand up here saying, you guys think you have it hard. Man, walk down the hallways of school and see how tough that is and how dark that can be at times. You see, we can't just make it about us. Oops, we'll get there in just a minute. But don't think the young kids got it made. Man, they wore out slick. You guys are worn out a lot of times, right? Yeah, they're worn out. Probably most of the time. Dang it, Christian's asleep right now. He's not really. I'm just kidding. He's not really. They're worn out. We get worn out, but a lot of times it's from our own activities. Oh, and by the way, you guys get to design your own schedule and exactly what you want to do. You get to do whatever. No, they've got parents that dictate what they do. They have schools that dictate that. And so our lives are just going and going and going a lot of times. And it's hard to find time. Where do I put that in the middle of my studies and my activities and my family events and my friends? We're going to look at some of these things today. I want you to listen to three things that happen when we move from a person to a disciple, though. Three things that happen when we move from person to disciple. By the way, it doesn't happen overnight. I accepted Jesus. I am a new creation. That doesn't mean the old habits went away right away, but you are a new creation. And He gives you the power and the strength through the Holy Spirit to be that new creation. And by the way, when you fall down, to dust yourself off and get back again and keep on going. Number one, when you move from person to disciple, you move from self-centered to others-centered. You don't make it all about you. You move from self-centered to other-centered. Number two, we have the desire. Not just we have to, but we have the desire to serve and lead. By the way, Dale Bradshaw taught me that word desire years ago. And you'll probably think, I don't even know what you're talking about. I do, because I remember it. Sat over at Ground Zero building in the classroom. He said, when I want these things, I don't always pray, God, man, make me whatever it is. Let's say stop smoking. That wasn't the example. But you said, I don't pray for that. I pray for God to take away the desire of that. So sometimes we want Him to take away desires, and other times He gives us a desire. At one point in Romans, I think it's Romans 4:20, the disciples, man, they couldn't help but tell other people about the good news they had learned. So they couldn't help but talk about what they had seen and heard. So we have the desire to serve and lead. And number three, we become God-centered. Listen carefully, that's not the end of it. We become God-centered in our motivation. That makes a big difference. God-centered is one thing. God-centered in our motivation to do things is another. These things glorify God. We've talked over the last several weeks and months. I will glorify God by, number one, loving others. We move from self-centered to other-centered. And by serving others. Man, we have the desire to serve and lead. And I will glorify God by using my unique gift for the benefit of others. We become God-centered in our motivation. That's a powerful thing when we move from person to disciple. That'll change your relationship with your spouse, with your friends, with your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. That'll change that. When you're no longer self-centered, but you're other-centered. You're God-centered in your motivation, and you have the desire to serve and lead others. Now turn in your Bibles to John 6. This is where we're going to spend the rest of today. John chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. John chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. Familiar passage. Feeding the 5,000. And it says, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Depending on where you were from, depended on what you called that place, by the way. Then a great multitude followed him. A great multitude followed him. Why? Because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. He needed some time away from the group. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? That was a loaded question he was asking them, by the way. But this he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and he had given thanks and distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Now we can talk all about the miracle that happened there, but that's not what we're going to focus on today. The disciples were learning about both ministry opportunities. Listen carefully, in the feeding of the 5,000, they were learning about ministry opportunities, and they were learning more about Jesus during this miracle that took place. This great event that took place. They're still learning. When we look at making disciples and talking about what does that look like, sometimes we fail to release them into ministry opportunities. We want to keep them and keep them and keep them, and we don't want them to go out there and fail, so we don't ever give them opportunities. I failed at that here many times. But I'm trying to learn as we go and as we grow. And as we look for laborers for the harvest, I'm going to look at 6 things that Jesus did to prepare his disciples for ministering to others in this event. 6 things Jesus did in that scripture we just read. Number one, Jesus brought them to a place or a situation where there were others who were in need. So as we look at making disciples, we have to give them opportunity to go someplace or meet people where there's a need. Josh and Nikki, as they were growing and wanting to become more involved in Ground Zero and the leadership there, my wife and I took them to a church that was closing down. 2 years ago last week, it closed down. So we took them to the last service. Very small church, just basically a house church. And then we went out to eat afterwards. And I invited them, said, hey, I'd like you to go with us. Okay. They didn't ask many questions. Then afterwards I said, why do you think I took you there? Because I wanted to see if they understood my motivation. And I said, that church was closing down. They'd tried for years. There's more people sitting right here than were in that church other than us when we went on there last Sunday. And they'd tried and they'd struggled and they just couldn't do it. And finally said, it's time to shut down. I said, that pastor, how do you think he feels right now? And I said, so we're going there to support him and his wife. Learning opportunities, growing opportunities. Jesus brought the disciples to a place or a situation where there were others who were in need. We had a great discussion the rest of that night about why we were there and different things that it represented and opportunities. Number two, Jesus had given them real teaching prior to this point. That's an important one. Jesus had given them real teaching prior to that point. We miss that sometimes. Okay? Churches miss that. Pastors miss that. I've missed it. Giving people real teaching before we release them to do something. We did that within the last year and had catastrophic results and lost pretty much all of our young adults. That was my fault. That falls on my shoulders. Sometimes we release before we should, and other times we hold on and fail to release. But we have to give real teaching before we release people out into ministry opportunities. Number three, Jesus connected them to God and each other. We'll talk about that in a minute, but they had to rely on God. But they got to connect with God and connect with other people. And as the disciples, I can imagine them going, well, we just have a couple loaves here. Looking at it, 5,000 people going, well, okay, I better practice up on my customer service skills when they're upset that we don't have any more food. And then lo and behold, God provided for them. So Jesus connected them with God and to each other and to rely on each other and to rely on God and Jesus. Number four, Jesus had equipped them and released them to do ministry. Ties in a little bit with number two, giving them real teaching, but it also says he equipped them. When they went as groups, they also went off and had their private time. Jesus went away with his disciples. But he had equipped them and then released them to go out and do ministry. Yeah, just take those little scraps and go out there and feed the 5,000. What? You see how much is in there, Jesus, right? But he knew, that's why he asked them, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? It was a loaded question for the disciples. Hey, do you trust that we can feed all these people and take care of them? That the Father will provide for them? Number five, Jesus shared truth that was new to them. Jesus shared truth that was new to them. When they go out there and feed the 5,000, they had seen different miracles that they had done because it said these people had followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. They'd been with him when he performed the miracles. Uh-oh, they're getting ready to see another one. But this one's going to be new to us, Jesus. I guess some people can be healed. But man, you're talking about feeding people where there is no food. How are you going to make that happen, Jesus? But here's the biggest thing that Jesus did. And I believe it's the biggest thing that we can do in our lives as well. Jesus modeled discipleship to them as they were all together. He modeled it. Everywhere he went, he modeled it. He modeled his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion. He modeled that. The woman at the well. He didn't beat her up about the sin. He let the Holy Spirit take care of that business. He started out with conversation and connecting in different ways. By the way, sometimes discipleship, that's building a friendship first. But here's what's important. Well, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to offend people. Friends don't let friends drink and drive. Right? Okay, great. Man, friends don't let friends go to hell. Man, I'm going to ask for your keys. Man, I'm going to ask for you to give your life over to Christ. But it's important when we do those things that our friends understand if you decide not to, we can still be friends. And that's a fine line because the Bible says, hey, by the way, don't have any association with darkness. Anthony, is there a line of people waiting to get in here that have big signs on them to say, I'm a sinner, let me in? Nobody out there? Okay. They're not lined up outside here. We have to go to those dark places at times. Oh, the Bible tells us to be very careful when you're trying to enter into those places, lest you be pulled into that darkness. But we have to go where the gospel isn't going. He calls us to that. I can lead people to Christ. I just can't get them to accept Christ. Those are all different things we can talk about. But these examples, Jesus said he modeled discipleship to them when they were all together. As we go out there, are we modeling it for others to see that we have that aroma and that fragrance of Christ? Making ourselves desirable for others to want to be near? I'm going to go there. You know, homosexuality is a sin, right? Yes. Well, you let those people in church. Oh, man, I tell you what, I got a seat for them right next to you sinners. You see where I'm going with this? We all have sin, and to try and put weight on certain sins, that's God's job. My job is to open up these chairs for every one of you sinners. Oh, and thank you for opening up the pulpit to this sinner. God doesn't want us to stay there, but oh my goodness, he doesn't like us to lie, and cheat, and steal, oh, and covet, oh, and complain, and gossip. Why do we try and make people be so different than us? I'm just a gossiper. I'm not a murderer. I guess, thank goodness, I think. You know? You see where I'm going, though? The love of Christ. Now, all those things should be addressed. Those are the things we should be looking at when we have communion and examine ourselves. Man, am I a grumbler? A complainer? Sorry, Lord. I need to change that. But I need to look at myself a little more often than I am probably. If I don't recognize that and other people have to tell me. We need to be sure as we make disciples and as we are disciples that continue to grow, that we understand our dependency has to be on God. Our dependency has to be on God. Jesus sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, when he left them. Hey, I'm going away. I'm leaving you, but I'm sending a helper. By the way, you're going to need that helper. But for some reason, some churches, Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, I don't know what that means. It's the helper. Those are the things that help transform us and get us out of ourselves and take us from Adam today to Adam of tomorrow. You see, I can't do it through my own strength and knowledge and wisdom. Boy, that's minimal. But I can do it through the Holy Spirit. That power and that strength. Matthew 28. We'll close with this. You guys should be very familiar with that. You know, He's a good God. Baby, just like you said, He's a good Father. And He loves us. I want to tell you, because it may have been a while before you heard this. He loves you. He loves your kids. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you and your kids. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you and your kids. He loves you. He loves you and your kids. He loves your beautiful family. He loves you and your kids and your grandkids. He loves you and your kids. He loves you and your kids. He loves your beautiful family. You and your wife and your kids. He loves you and your kids. He loves you. I don't know if I skipped you. I'm sorry. By the way, the ones in the back, He loves you. And He wants the best for you. I look at these stupid YouTube videos. Lord knows my kids want me to stop. My wife wants me to stop. And I look at the lady that has the flowers and say, would you hold this while I tie my shoes? She ties her shoes and walks off. Leaves a beautiful note in there for an old man. Just says something like simple, you know. I just want you to know you are loved and you are beautiful. And you see these people looking around and crying. They just need that. And I thought, today, you guys may need that before I close with this scripture. He loves you. Every one of you. Oh, by the way, you may say, that's obvious. In case it's not, I love you. And I love your kids. And I love you. And I love all of you. I truly do. I tell my wife, I'm so blessed to have this beautiful, wonderful church to be a part of. Just like in my marriage to Cindy and Brittany and Spencer before Austin was born. See, I didn't come in and rescue anybody. I didn't do anything. You guys allowed me to be part of this beautiful family. And the same with them. They allowed me to be part of that beautiful family. And this is special. When we come together, this is special. Michelle, I'm amazed when I think of all the places you thought you'd never be. And it's Oklahoma. And my wife and I cried when she bought a home here. I said, for the love of God, she's staying. You know, how special that is. That you found a church family and you found a town where you feel loved and said, this is where I'm staying. And we're so thankful for that. And the rest of you, and some of you have left and come back. And we're thankful. God told me to say that before I read this scripture. I'm sorry. You saw me hesitate, though. I had to debate. Really, God? It's not part of this. It's not written. Whew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Four months of the year left. How can we become fishers of men? 9 years ago, when the leadership here at Prayer of Faith changed, with Eric and I, my twin brother got me a little fish hook pin, and I wore that forever, and I wore it to work. And I got to start wearing it again, because people would always say, "What is that?" I said, "I'm a fisher of men." And that's what it was. It was a fisher of men. In these last 4 months, how can we become fishers of men? How can we model those three areas that we talked about in the beginning? Move from self-centered to other-centered. We have a desire to serve and to lead others. And we become God-centered in our motivation to do things. And how can we grow and prepare disciples for ministry to others? Let's think about that over these next couple months. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your lesson today, the feeding of the 5,000. The lessons that Jesus taught his disciples. The opportunities we have in our own lives. God, help wake us up if we are asleep and tired, that there's opportunities in the kingdom. The laborers are few. Help us to grow laborers on this Labor Day weekend. Help us to become a greater laborer already. And Lord, give us opportunities to model Christ's love and behavior to others that are lost, and have boldness to invite them into a relationship with Him. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name.